Hi, everybody. I'm Dennis Prager. Welcome to my home. This is actually my home, and that's my fireplace, and this is my fireside chat, which I try to do pretty much every week. Sometimes it's hard because I'm on the road so much, and I can't do a fireside chat if I'm not by my fireside. But when I can, I do, and this is a chance just to totally have non-scripted dialogue, because it is a dialogue. I take a lot of questions with you. So a couple of preliminary comments before I get to my opening subject and then take your questions. First of all, I want to remind all of you that these are really not dated. In other words, if you watch a fireside chat from 6 months ago, it will be just as relevant as a fireside chat from today. So if you enjoy this, please go back and watch some others and enjoy. Next, I just want to as well say hello to viewers in China. There are a fair number of you, and I'm very happy about that. And I want you to know that it's very important to me to talk to as many of you in China as possible. So a big hello and xiexie, which for those of you who don't know any Chinese is thank you. My worry is those who do know Chinese may not have even known what I said, but I think I got it right. So welcome to all of you, and I hope you spread the word as well, because what I have to say, I believe, is relevant to anyone with any background. Sometimes I talk about American issues, obviously, but the ideas are universal. It may be an event that happened in America, but my reaction is universal. So that's in fact what I'm going to begin with. I want to talk to you about the terrible, terrible tragedy in Florida of a 19-year-old who murdered 17 people, mostly students at a high school. And my heart breaks, it just truly does. I'm a parent. And when I think of the parents who said goodbye to their kid that morning and will never see their kid again, at least not in this realm of existence. I happen to believe in an afterlife, and I don't think that they will never see their child. I think they will, but I may get to that later. But I want to open up with something, a perspective that you may not have heard with all the talk, and there was a lot of talk, completely understandably. I devoted all three hours of my radio show to that subject, and I almost never do devote all 3 hours to one subject. And by the way, for those of you who don't know, I do have a radio show anywhere in the world. You could hear it on the internet, and in America, I'm on about 150 or so stations, and also on the internet, and that's daily. I'd like to open up with this thought. Sometimes in life, there's simply a tragedy, and there's very, very little we can do about it. It is unbelievably tempting to think, whenever something bad happens, how can we stop this? I have that reaction, and every normal human being has that reaction. But as important as that reaction is, it's also important to acknowledge that there are times in life where, quite simply, tragedies happen. It's sort of like lightning. And I know this goes against a lot of people's desire to blame the lack of appropriate gun laws, or to blame mental illness, or to blame a whole host of things. We didn't treat the mentally ill properly, or whatever it might be. And these are issues I want to deal with. But first, I want to note, the more I know about this boy, the more I realize that we're talking about the realm of the tragic. This boy was adopted at birth, or near birth, I don't know if it was birth or near birth, by the Cruz family. And we have reason to believe, I've read this in a number of sources here, from the Daily Mail in Britain to elsewhere, that he may have been born with fetal alcohol syndrome. If the birth mother is an alcoholic, And she might, in fact, be transferring a fetal alcohol syndrome to the fetus. Apparently, this affects the brain's development. And you don't know what you'll get, as it were. And my heart breaks for this family, both of whose parents have died, as it happens. That's another element here. Because they tried to do a beautiful thing. He was from Russia. He was Russian born to a Russian parent. Alcoholism is rampant in Russia. So, in addition to other signs, looking at his face and his behavior from birth, apparently, he may well have had fetal alcohol syndrome. So that's tragedy. It's a double tragedy because the parents tried to do a beautiful thing, adopt a child from Russia. And he has a biological sibling. I don't know anything about the biological brother. And they adopted him as well. Anyway, the father died when he was young, which is always a tragedy, but it's hardly a cause for people to then go and shoot people, obviously. But as well, the mother died, whom apparently I think he was somewhat close to or very close to. So fetal alcohol syndrome, both parents die, and that's it's not a good combination for an unstable person to begin with, and they did have a lot of problems with him from birth. You're allowed to buy a gun in the United States of America. Those of you outside of the United States undoubtedly wonder why it's that easy to buy a gun in the United States. This is the freest country in the world. You're allowed to say things that you can't say in other countries. You're allowed to buy things that you can't buy in other countries. For example, I'll just give you one. I always try to give examples because that makes the generalization understandable. In Europe, in most European countries, maybe every one, you cannot, you are not allowed to deny that the Holocaust took place. Now, let me make something clear. Denial of the Holocaust is about as sick and evil a position as I know of. It is the most documented horror in human history. And whenever I hear of these truly evil people who deny that it took place, and that's evil. I mean, I don't use the word easily. I think, God, I only wish they were right. I wish 6 million Jews weren't murdered. But the question is, where are they? Where did they go? Were they absconded to Mars? It's so absurd. The Germans, to their credit, are the first to recognize that this all took place. Anyway, my only point is, in Europe, you can't deny that the Holocaust took place in most countries. It's a crime. You can go to jail. In the United States, you can. You can. This is the freest country in the world, the United States. It comes with a price, because if people don't exercise their freedoms judiciously, morally, decently, bad things could happen. Well, you can buy a gun in the United States because it's protected by one of the amendments to the United States Constitution, and that enables people to arm themselves. And why are we allowed to arm ourselves in the United States? A, to protect ourselves, and B, because this country was founded on the belief that governments can become tyrannical, and people ultimately should be able to resist tyrannies. Every tyranny takes away people's guns. That's the first thing the communists did in Russia, the Nazis did in Germany, because then there's no possibility to oppose them. I've often dreamed, what if every Jew or every Jewish family in Germany and in Poland and in Czechoslovakia and wherever else Jews were rounded up and sent to death camps, what if they all had a gun? Now, they still would have been rounded up, but at least they would have taken people who came, the Nazis who came to take them away with them. It would have been a lot harder. So, I understand the American desire to enable people to be armed. And vast numbers, the very high number of people who have defended themselves with guns. Be that as it may, you're allowed to have a gun in the United States. unless you're a criminal or in certain cases of documented mental illness and so on, you can't. This boy bought a gun. You're not allowed in America, except in the rarest of instances, you're not allowed to have an automatic weapon. An automatic weapon is best known as a machine gun. In other words, you press the trigger once and many bullets come out. A semi-automatic is every time you press it, a bullet comes out. So, ta, 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 not ta, da, 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 da. And that's a semi-automatic, but you have to press it each time. Below semi-automatic is where you have to put the bullet in the chamber each time in order to take another shot. Okay. It's allowed in the United States for protection and for hunting and for whatever else people use guns for. But I want to go back to the tragic notion. I don't know, except for one thing, I don't know how he would have been stopped. And I want to talk to you about that. No law would have stopped him. People who want to kill can get guns. It's just the way it works. I don't know what law. If there is a law, I'd like to know it. I would give it consideration, but I would like to know what law that is. Whenever I hear people say, we have to pass laws, but they never tell us what law would have stopped any of these mass shootings in America. What law would have stopped it? I ask that every time this thing happens and I never get a response. Because I don't think you could come up with a law that would have stopped any of these mass shootings. What might have stopped it? Really only one thing. You stop a person from murdering by shooting them, by killing them. Once they're killed, they can't murder. Why wasn't he shot? Because nobody at that school had a gun. Maybe there was one armed guard who was immediately dispatched. I don't know if he had arms or not. Therefore, what I would like to see is that people are trained in every school. People are trained, teachers, but not just teachers, because otherwise only teachers might be shot. A whole host of problems. But teachers and others, principals, teachers, teachers' aides, people who work in any department, any adult. I don't want kids to take guns to school. But I would like to see adults at these schools be armed. And I think that would lower the number. The Los of dead. The Los Angeles Times, in an unbelievably foolish editorial, said people who say that the teachers and others should be armed, well, what's the big deal? So the number of killed would have gone down to 5, 3? And I'm thinking, yes, that is a big deal. 5 or 3 killed instead of 17 is a very big deal. I don't know why anybody would mock that. If 5 are killed instead of 17, 12 people are living that would be dead. That's significant. The best is the enemy of the better. That's a rule of life. You have to improve. You got to make things better. Don't aim for perfect. So, tragedy, armed people at schools. These are some of my reflections on this terrible thing that happened. Finally, on the note that I mentioned earlier, I have counseled parents whose children have died, whether killed or through disease or through a drunk driver, one case through a fire in a house, and I always tell them, I believe with all my heart and soul that you will see your child again. I believe in God. I believe God is good. And if God is good, this is not the only existence there is. It's too unfair. Therefore, if God is good, there is something after this life. This is not the only reality. Okay? All right. Now, I don't have a lighter. If I don't have a lighter, I can't light my cigar. This is one of my joys in life, I must admit it. It's a pretty innocuous vice if you're going to have one. And by the way, for those of you who don't know, there's no comparison between cigarettes and cigars because you don't inhale cigars, you inhale cigarettes. because the purpose of a cigar is to taste yummy tobacco, whereas the purpose of a cigarette is to get nicotine. People don't know that, so they just yell tobacco, 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 but it's that's not the case. It's not the same thing. All right, I am going to look on the my trusty iPad here. Was that a free ad for Apple? Could have been an Android. I have an Android phone and I have an iPad tablet. Okay. I'm an equal opportunity guy. All right. Let's see. Uh-oh. Press home to open. Okay, here we are. Dan from Minnesota. Why is affirmative action bad? Oh, boy. Oh, God. I got to try to be brief. Because it ceases to look at people as individuals and sees them as members of groups. The antithesis of the Judeo-Christian ideal of every human is created in God's image, not every ethnicity, not every race. Race means nothing. The individual is precious. You earn your way into college. You earn your way into a job. Let me ask you a question for those who are for affirmative action. In the National Basketball Association, what is it, 80% of players are black, I believe it is. Should we have affirmative action for whites in the NBA? Or how about this, for Asians? Are there any Asian players in the NBA? Well, is that fair? Why not have affirmative action? Number two, affirmative action just hurts people. It may be meant well, but it hurts people. Because if you haven't earned your way into a job or a college, let's say, then you may not be up for the job. You may not do it well enough. You may not do well enough at that college. And you'll have a very high dropout rate, which just makes things worse. Number three, when there's affirmative action and you are a member of a minority that has been affirmed, people will not know whether you have really achieved your position or you got it through affirmative action. It cheapens the achievements of people in minorities. And that bothers me a great deal. Okay, next. Madison from Denver. Hi, Madison. Oh, can I say who this is? Mm-hmm. Will's sister? How'd you put up with him? What should I be looking for most in my relationships with a significant other to make them work? Okay, are you ready? Can I give an adult answer here? Yes? Okay. This is what I think you need to make a love relationship work. You have to have these three things of you respond positively to the person. Your mind, your heart, and your sexual being. All three have to respond. Not equally. It doesn't have to be 33, 33, 33. It could be 50, 30, 20. That's okay. But all three have to be present. Not two of the three, and certainly not one. All three have to be present for it to work. Having said that, that's not the only thing. That's a big thing. That's the sine qua non. That is the indispensable basis. You have to respond to the person with your mind, with your heart, and with your genitals, all right, to be adult in my response. But even that's not enough. Then there's values. People say to me today, well, I really love him or her, but, you know, we have totally opposite politics. Well, opposite politics is a euphemism. What you're saying is you have opposite values. I mean, it used to be maybe politics. Now there's a values gap between left and right that is unbridgeable. The person may be a wonderful person. I'm not denying that, but that's not enough. You know, the person you marry should be your best friend. Right? And you want to share everything with your best friend. You don't want to have to hide part of you from your best friend. So the more you have in common, the better it is. Opposites may attract, but they don't tend to last. Maybe opposite personalities, that's fine. Opposite personality is not an issue. That's not, personality is not a values issue. Okay? That's good stuff. So Madison, take care, and take care of Will. He's a good guy. Dan from Minnesota. Oh, he did that. Madison from Denver. That's twice. Jake from Prager Force in Illinois. Hi, Jake. Thanks for being in Prager Force. What is the best way to turn someone on the left to the right? It's actually not difficult. If the person has an open mind, I know this sounds amazing, they'll turn. All a person needs to go from left to right is an open mind and commitment to common sense. Because, hey, that's my bulldog who's sniffing, in case you're hearing him sniffing. Do you see Otto in the, I don't think so, right? We don't see Otto, but okay. Otto is a very lovable dummy, but very lovable. I don't seek brilliance in my dogs, and he's clearly not. Okay, but they're here. He and his brother, who's a basset hound. Anyway, best way to turn someone left to right is to present honorably, honestly, intellectually, dispassionately our arguments. They're all rooted in good values and common sense. That's the best way. That's why Prager University has been so effective. We had 600 million views last year of our 5-minute videos. And about, what is it? I think it's 65% were under 35 years of age. And a vast number of them, or a large number of them, had their minds changed because they never heard these ideas. The reason that schools suppress conservative ideas is that they deep, deep, deep down know that if they hear us, a fair number of young people will reject the indoctrination that they have received at school. That's the case. That's why our mere appearance at a college campus or a high school is so threatening. Because we make good sense, and they're afraid of having us aired. There's no fear in the other way. I want people to read, I want conservatives to read left-wing stuff. If you don't, you should. Absolutely. And I know, I mean, I have my whole life. My show has a subscription to the New York Times. We read it all the time. I have no fear of people reading left-wing views. I think that it actually reinforces their conservatism. But it's not, doesn't hell the other way around. If they read us, then if they have, again, it was a big if, an open mind, there's a good chance they'll change. Dennis from Texas. How do we stop mass shootings? Hello, Dennis from Texas. We can't stop them. It's like stopping. We can minimize, but we can't stop. We can't stop drunk drivers. We can't stop all crime. In this world, evil takes place. We have to do our best. I addressed that issue with the opening of the of my commentary here, or my little chat with you. And I spoke about, I think that every school should have adults who are armed. But I also believe in a larger issue. I mean, if we have more stable homes, if we have more people with good values, people with good values don't shoot people. And that should be pretty clear. Adrian from Austin. What inspired you to make PragerU? Excuse me. What inspired me? Well, it was Alan Estrin's idea, the co-founder of of PragerU. He said one day to me while we were, I take listeners on cruises around the world. I have for 25 years. On one of these cruises about 6 years ago, he said, Dennis, I think we should start a Prager University. Alan never jokes. The last time Alan told a joke, I think he was 11 years old. And I didn't know him then. So I've never heard Alan tell a joke. So I knew he was serious. But I said, fine, thinking, what am I going to say? No. I just said fine, but he was serious, and he thought of the idea of 5-minute videos. And it took off beyond any, to say wildest dream, I didn't even have a wild dream that we would have 600 million views in a year. I pray we'll go to a billion and more and around the world, because a good value is universal. There's no such thing as a good value just for Americans or a good value just for any other group. That's how it started. I want to change people's minds because I want a good world. A lot of bad ideas out there. Justice from Miami. Is that like a common name now? We have a justice. We have a Liberty who works for us at PragerU. We have a justice, right? Also working for PragerU. We have a Liberty and a justice. Yeah. Where can we get real news nowadays? Huh, that's such an interesting question. It's so sad, isn't it, that you have to ask it. The desire just to tell the truth about what is happening as opposed to indoctrinate. Wow. Well, I don't feel that I have a problem because I know how to read websites. I know how to read news sites. I can spot an agenda within two sentences. I'm exaggerating. Sometimes it's two paragraphs. But I think that a combination of worthy sites that are serious. It depends on the issue. Let me put it to you this way. For example, if you want news about an earthquake in Latin America, you'll get the truth in most on most websites. It's when the issue enters a left-right divide, that's when you have a problem. For example, in America, for the last more than a year, since before Donald Trump was even inaugurated, the press has been preoccupied with collusion, alleged collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia to affect the American election. It's been much more hysteria than it has been news. You know, I'll give you another example. By the way, because we don't have any basis for that belief. Maybe something will come out, but thus far it's been nothing. It's just been an agenda to delegitimize the election of Donald Trump. Whether you like Donald Trump or not, that's the issue. I'll give you another example. The Los Angeles Times actually announced about 2 years ago it would not publish a letter or an opinion piece or anything else that in any way took issue with the global warming agenda, no, not agenda, that's my word, a global warming scenario. And what is that? That's very important. It's not merely that somebody will say the globe isn't getting warm. Very few people say the globe isn't getting warmer. The question is how much warmer? The question is will it be an existential threat to existence, which is what we're told. You know, this is the greatest threat to humankind, which is nonsense. And what's causing it? We have a number of major physicists giving courses at Prager University, like Professor Hopper of Princeton. He's an emeritus professor of physics. Just recently, he made a video for PragerU, and he said these computer models are nonsense. But he can't be fired, so he's not afraid to take a dissenting view. Here's an emeritus professor of physics the LA Times won't print. So the bias is terrible. Okay, what's our story on time, gentlemen? How many more questions? A couple of more? Huh? You'll put it on when we're ready to go? Okay. Jacob from Pennsylvania, what is the best argument for the existence of God? That you're watching me talk right now and understanding it. I am. Here's, but here's, I mean, what do I mean by that? I mean, do you really believe, does one really believe intelligence came from nothing? We went from rocks to me dialoguing with you now on its own. We have zero, not a little, zero evidence that we can go from inorganic to organic, let alone to intelligence. But here's a great argument that was made by a rabbi many years ago. What do I do with my lighter? Here it is. A great argument. Listen to this. This is, I hope you'll follow it. Man's name was Milton Steinberg. And this was his argument. The believer in God has to account for one thing, the existence of unjust suffering, right? Every one of us who believes in God has to account for, how come there's so much injustice in the world? If there's a good God, how do you explain that? That's true. It's a good challenge to us. That's fair. But then part one, it's a two-part argument. The first part, the believer in God has to account for one thing, the existence of unjust suffering. The atheist has to account for the existence of everything else. And they have no answer. All they say is it happened. Okay, if that makes more sense to you, then you should be an atheist. As Charles Krauthammer, who's an agnostic, he's not a believer and he's not an atheist, said when I asked him on my radio show about a year ago, it's very powerful, I'm paraphrasing though, I said, what do you think of atheism? He said, that has to be the absolute most absurd argument I have ever heard. This guy's an agnostic. He's completely secular. Said to believe everything came about on its own, that's just absurd. Justin from Spain. Are countries like Sweden, Finland, and Denmark examples of socialism working? They're not. They seem to be, but I'll tell you why they're not. Because over the long haul, it can't survive. Socialism produces no wealth. Capitalism produces all wealth. Socialism spends the wealth that capitalism produces. So over the course of generations, at best, sometimes it's quicker, that goes bankrupt. The experiment simply goes bankrupt. And you don't have enough young people working to support the socialist welfare state. That is why do you think these countries, why did Germany take in so many Turkish workers, millions of Turks to begin with? Because it needed to support its welfare state. There weren't enough young Germans. And the same thing is going to be happening in the other states and the other countries that you mentioned. Sweden, it's very hard to imagine a positive outcome for Sweden, which is based on wishful thinking. Oh, we'll take in all these people who don't have our values and everything will be fine. Well, everything isn't fine. And it's getting more problematic. Zach from Pennsylvania. Should the drinking age be lowered to 18? I don't have a good opinion. I mean, I don't have a strong opinion on that. I really can't stand alcoholism, obviously. No, nobody's in favor of it, so it's not an issue. It's an interesting question. In France, kids drink wine with their meals at a very early age, and I don't know if their alcoholism rates are the same as in America or not. I should look that up. I know for religious reasons, as a religious Jew, I was raised in a home where every Sabbath, every week at the Sabbath meal, we all blessed the wine, and from a very early age, I drank the wine at the meal. As it happens, I have no taste for wine now or alcohol, and I prefer to use grape juice as it happens, but the alcoholism rate among religious Jews was very small throughout Jewish history. I think it's rising now. I'm sure it's rising now, but I don't know if it's high now. In other words, when people drank to sanctify their meal, they were less likely to become alcoholics than if they drank to get high or to get drunk. I don't know. I don't know if it would be a good idea. 18. I have to think that through. So you got me on an I don't knower on that one. And let's see. Is this the final one? No. James from Philadelphia. What is your opinion on the hookup and casual sex culture of our generation? I have a very interesting theory on happiness. I won't talk morality right now. I'll just talk happiness. I am somewhat of an expert on the subject of happiness. I've written a book on it. I wrote it in 1999. It is still selling very well because it has helped a lot of people. It's called Happiness is a Serious Problem. Even if you buy a used copy, I hope you read it. So, and I have done an hour a week of radio, also since 1999, on happiness. So I've talked to millions of people about happiness all over the world on my radio show, in writing. Here's a very interesting experiment that you should try for 1 week. Just try it for 1 week. Before you do anything, I mean anything, ask yourself, will doing this make me happier? Don't ask, is doing this fun? Ask, will doing this make me happier? My suspicion is that most of the time in the hookup culture, if the female of the hookup were to ask herself, will I be happier if I sleep with this guy whom I barely know? Will I be happier tomorrow? I think in most cases her answer will be no. As for the guy, I think his answer might be either you bet or, well, let's find out. Because sex is a different thing almost entirely for the two sexes. And I think a lot of women have had their happiness quite hurt by the hookup culture. I'm not a prude. I didn't give you a religious argument. I didn't give you a moral argument, a very pragmatic argument. Ask yourself the question, will doing this, by the way, do it with anything. If you watch 3 hours of TV, watch 1 hour of TV, 6 hours of TV. Ask before you watch, will I be happier because I watched this TV show? Will I be happier? And the odds are the answer is no. Ask yourself this question. Will I be happier if I play a musical instrument, if I practice a musical instrument for an hour tonight? Will I be happier? In other words, will I be happier if a year from now I can play piano or the violin or the guitar? The answer, of course, is yes. In other words, there is a real conflict often in life between fun and happiness. I have a whole chapter on the difference between fun and happiness in my book. Fun is what you experience during an act. Happiness is what you experience after an act. I have the biggest project, the hardest project of my life coming out shortly. And it is the first book of my 5-volume commentary on the first 5 volumes of the Bible. It's called the Rational Bible. If you think the Bible is for idiots, this is the book you should read. If anything I've written will change a life, I believe it is my book, The Rational Bible. You can pre-order it on the internet. I know I'm saying I sound like I'm selling a book. Believe me, nobody writes commentaries on the Bible to become a millionaire. So I don't have a problem telling you about this from that perspective. But you know what? This is my 7th book. And it's not fun writing a book. Believe me, it is much more fun to play hearts on the computer or to do any one of my multitude of hobbies, or you know, just go out to eat or 100 other watch a movie. That's a lot more fun. But I have happiness from the books I've written. It gives me a certain sense of accomplishment, which is a big deal. And so, back to the hookup culture. Ask yourself before the hookup, will I be happier tomorrow if I do? And likewise with television or anything else you do, will I be happier if I do X or Y or Z? And I think you will come to a lot more wise of a response about what to do with your life. And by the way, I'm very pro fun, but I'm for making the things that bring you happiness fun. So I like to have fun. My radio show is a hard thing to do every day, 3 hours, but I try to have a lot of fun on it. That's different. Well, let's see. I think that's about it. Is that right? Was that our last, is there one more? I'll happily do one more. Why not? I mean, maybe I won't be happy. Depends on the question. Okay. Mara from Colorado Springs, is cheating on your significant other always immoral? Wow, would I love to know what prompted that that question. Whew. Okay. I'm, if I may use the word, I am a theologian. In other words, I have written and taught religion my whole life. I take it obviously very seriously. One of the things that a lot of religious people do not recognize is that there are gradations of sin. I don't think that God regards murder or child molestation the way he regards stealing a pencil from your place of work. They're both a sin, they're both wrong, they're both immoral. But unless God has lost his mind, God regards murder and mo child molestation as more serious a sin than stealing a pencil from your place of work. And by the way, I'm very strict on the stealing issue. I've never taken a towel from a hotel. I believe very, very strongly. You should see my videos on the Ten Commandments at PragerU.com. I've given a lot of thought to these issues. But I do believe in gradations of sin. There are gradations even of cheating. For example, the worst form of cheating on a significant other is where you have humiliated that person, where you've done it publicly. Because humiliating a person is a terrible, terrible sin. So that's like the top level or the worst level, I think, of cheating on your significant other. But now I'll give you the least, while acknowledging that adultery is adultery, I'm not denying that. There are gradations. I knew a man. This is not made up. I knew him and I knew his wife pretty well. They had a number of children. They were a spectacular couple. They were both physicians. They were, I loved these people. They were utterly faithful and loving to one another. And she got Alzheimer's at a pretty young age. It's a terrible tragedy. He took care, he bathed her, he cleansed her, he wiped her after she relieved herself. He took care of her completely. But people with Alzheimer's can live a long time. Over the course of time, when she had already even lost the ability to identify who he was, so bad was her memory affected, that he did in fact fall in love with a woman. And he did not marry her until his wife finally passed away from Alzheimer's. But I am not going to sit here and tell you this man, you know, was a bad man or committed a terrible sin. Yes, it remains a sin, but there are gradations of sin. I think that's what God wants us to understand. That's why God gave us a mind. And we're not robots. Okay, that was an intense final question. Ooh. All right, so I said hello to my Chinese viewers, told you to watch previous fireside chats, watch our videos at PragerU, enjoy my radio show. And oh yes, I really do believe it'll change your life, my book, The Rational Bible. It's a massive commentary on just one book, the book of Exodus, but it explains very, very important stuff. Like, why didn't the Bible outright ban slavery? I answer the question in that book. Until the next fireside chat, I'm Dennis Prager. Thanks for watching.